regardless of whether you have three people or 30,000, the insights are things that you can take with you. Eventually, you have to create a culture. If you don't create a culture, your culture will be created for you by the employees that you choose.
The inmates running the asylum.
And you may or may not get what you want if you allow them to create the culture. So, and Joseph had a great point as we were having this conversation. Think about your business 100 years from now when you're no longer the one running it. What could you do today to, and I'm going to use your words because I really liked it, fireproof your business culturally so that in another 50, 60, 70, 80 years when it's not you running it anymore, it could still be the same business that you created today. So, there is music. It's not just in my head. So anything around culture or a new idea or something that you wanted to share before we move on? This might be an opportunity to dig into our hat of friends. So anything that you, as you were talking with the people that you're with, that you thought, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to think about that different.
This is the thing I thought, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Was living the example, like making sure that, you know, the language that you use, should be consistent. It shouldn't be, you know, something that your client should hear.
Right.
And just to make sure that, you know, if you're doing it, you know, you can't expect somebody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. You have to buy it 100% in order to even start changing the culture with people you work with around.
That's good. Good one. Uh-huh.
I think it's not something any of us can go back and change tomorrow. It's a commitment of time and
we're all cool. can rent. We're all cool kids. Yes.
And I think that's an important fact that we tend to forget to share with our staff and members of you know, providing that the information that they're empowered, what they're there to do. You know, so you need to get fostered back into culture and making sure that you communicate that information is given to them.
Excellent. Okay. Cowboy, well, I can get three more. Let's do these two and then over here.
I think if anything, they do promote longevity, especially when your company is established and they've been around for a long time, kind of letting your employees know that they're able to grow with the company and that there is stability in the firm.
And your culture is a huge part of that. Boy, you've hit on a huge challenge, period, with regard to culture. There is the thing that corporate says we should be, and then there's the thing that we are. And somehow bringing them closer together.
She stole mine.
You can be a cowboy. I was going to
say, that's, you know, one of the challenges is trying to get the corporate culture to be something that everyone can relate to and just get on board and understand and say that, you know, that's that goal, their vision, their goal is my personal goal as well. And being that would be so unique, so different, it's hard to find a general goal that meets that.
What kind of word is that?
It sure seems like.
Oh. How many? Oh, wow. All of you. Wonderful. Wonderful. And thank you for your ideas and your thoughts around culture. It is the foundational piece for the rest of the building that we'll construct during our time together. So we're going to move from culture into selection. So once you've defined your culture, you've articulated it, you're beginning to, you know, sort of build it, put it into place in a permanent way, you're going to have to begin to think about selection, because that's sort of a common thread in the room, right? We all hire people. All of our companies on some level, at some point, at some time, have to hire people. Some of the people we hire fail. Some of the people we hire do fine. But really very few of them end up on that far right-hand side of those highly committed, do it exactly right every single time. You know, so how can we begin to push the curve to the right with regard to our selection process, so that we are hiring people in a very intentional way? Oftentimes, we're hiring people to fill a vacancy. And you will hear companies say, we have to fill in, we have to fill it fast because we don't want to lose it. So yes, we have to fill it, but sometimes we need a little bit more diligence around filling it rather than fill it fast. So it's, we all kind of come together, we make the decision that we're gonna make the work happen, and that we're going to be deliberate and intentional in our selection process about filling this empty spot with someone who matches what? Our culture. So if all of that is true, we have to hire people, we have to be more intentional about it, we need to hire someone who fits our culture, then modifying or adjusting certain key aspects of your selection process will yield people with a far greater propensity to be excellent. There are certain things that you can do when you're selecting your new employees that are much more likely to shift the performance curve that you saw earlier to the right. There are a number of things that you must get right in your hiring process. Because, and I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you know, we'll just hire that one and we'll see if we can't fix it in training. You cannot fix it later. This isn't like a movie. You can't repair it in post-production. You have to get it right, because someone who's, well, they kind of fit, they're kind of okay, we can fix it in the training. No, you can't. I make you this promise that you're going to get the best, most polished person in that interview, and then the rest of them are going to come to work. So you're not always going to have the wonderful, polished one in front of you. The whole person's going to show up that first day of work. And if they don't fit when they're sitting in front of you in the interview, they are not going to fit after training. When people come to you for a position, they come to you with pre-existing characteristics. You know, if you kind of think about it, we all have baggage in the trunk, right? We all come with the baggage. I don't show you that in the interview process. But when I get to work, it's going to come out. You're going to get to meet all my baggage that comes with me. So the pre-existing condition, you're going to see some of these pre-existing characteristics. You ever been in an interview situation and an answer has come up and you thought, huh, that's interesting. Well, someone has just shown you a piece of baggage. And they probably didn't intend to. It just sort of came out. You know, if it does not a match for your culture, it is not a match. If you take the time to hire people correctly, what you will eventually get is accelerated performance. You know, they will need less after they come on board. And accelerated performance can actually happen before they even start work. Accelerated performance can happen when you offer them the job. Because if they are a right fit, they are going to be exponentially more excited to come to work with you. Because they know. They're going to walk away from it saying in their head, man, that is like absolutely the right place for me. That is, I totally see myself there. I fit there. It's exactly the work I want to do. And you already are going to get accelerated performance before they even begin work. First, though, we need to discuss the several things. Because we said there's several things. Modifying or adjusting key parts of your selection process to shift the performance curve. So what we're really talking about for you is a philosophical change in how you select people. Skills-based recruitment alone is fatally flawed. You must significantly overemphasize desired behaviors in addition to testing for skill. So what does a resume show you about a candidate? Skill.
How well they can write a resume.
Yeah, and but it shows you their skill. And it may show you their skill in terms of, I know how to operate these types of machines, or I know these types of computer programs, and that's skill. So you have to get beyond that resume. We all test for skill on some level. You know, you pass the bar exam, you become a lawyer, you know how to do math. You become accountant. You know, those kinds of things. That's natural. But there's an addition, too, because the best employee, remember, is the one who exhibits desired behaviors. So if you're testing for skill alone, you're not getting the complete picture in the candidates that you bring in. You have to balance the two. Now, here's a caveat to it, and it's sort of a beware. And it's beware of charm. Because charm has a huge effect in the selection process. Oh, they were so nice. You know, they were just adorable and so nice and sweet. And, you know, I can totally see us all having lunch together. Can't you see that? Can't you see us like we have lunch together? It'd be just great. They're so likable. That's why news anchors are hired. Because they're likable. That's part of what it means to be a news anchor. You got to be likable. You have to have a strong Q rating, which is a likability rating. You don't want that in your business. I worked in our casting building for 7 years, and I didn't care a flip whether I liked the person in front of me. It was, are they a good fit for who we are? And if they were a good fit for Disney, fantastic. But it could be, I mean, I could be sitting in front of a person that I thought, if I had to go to lunch with this person, I think I might poke myself in the eye. But they're amazing for our company. So you have to beware a little bit of likability, because likability can play a strong role. And I will tell you, the smaller the organization, the more likely likability is going to be a strong filter in your selection process. So the smaller number of people that you have, the more you must beware of this. So just a question for you. Why do you think organizations focus so much on skill? Yes, sir?
Because it's the only documented process or only documented thing that you can actually
correct. Do. documented. It's something that's provable or not provable.
And legally defensible if you get like discrimination claims, wrongful non-employment, etc.
It's what's emphasized in our training.
It's what
they're being completed on what you do.
Yeah. And isn't it part of your job description? Needs to be able to utilize, you know, all Microsoft Word functions and Adobe products. So we're telling you, here's what we need you to come to us with. And I will tell you, and I invite all of you at some point, go to DisneyCareers.com and pull up any random job description. Our job descriptions give you a description behaviorally of the organization first. Every one of them does. And then it tells you your skill set. DisneyCareers.com, yeah. And I, not because I want you to apply for a job there. I just to look at one as an example. Because it tells you, we give you culturally a piece about our company before we tell you anything about the job. And it's because when you read that, we hope you're thinking, good gracious. That's like way too friendly, or that's way too, I could not work there. Oh, wow, that really appeals to me. I could totally work there. Then you keep reading. So it's a balance. What we're looking for is a balance between the two. But you're absolutely right about why we emphasize skills as much as we do. But let me tell you, I'll share with you an illustration. It's kind of a cautionary tale for us. We're on page 19 in your book. And that is, there was a time in our history, and this was in the mid-80s, actually, where in Florida, we were growing very, very fast. We were building hotels and theme parks, and I mean, it was like, in 1989, we opened a water park, a theme park, and part of Downtown Disney. I mean, it was just a huge number of people that we had to hire. So we went outside the company for leadership roles. And it was really one of the first times in our history we had done that. We have a strong tradition of promoting from within, of cultivating and promoting talent management from within. But we hired a large number of leaders from outside the organization, leaders that on paper looked amazing. Talk about skills, mad skills. And we brought them into our organization, and some of them did not do very well. They were not a good fit behaviorally for our culture. And I have to tell you, it was very disillusioning for many cast members that worked in areas where those leaders came in. It was very disillusioning because all of a sudden, all the things that they had learned about who Disney was not what their leader was. Now, we learned from that. You know, we did make adjustments. We did learn, you know, pretty quickly what was going on. We did put in additional training opportunities and tools to get those leaders where we needed to be. But many of those leaders opted out of the organization, rightly so. You know, many did. And what we learned from that is that we can't rely on mad skills, because that doesn't mean that you're a fit for us. Really highly intelligent, really great people, not necessarily a fit for us. Yes, sir.
I know you're being politically correct. Did they leave on their own accord, or were they asked to leave?
Oh, I will tell you, at least from my experience, the experience I had when at my role at that time, leaders that left our area left on their own accord. The general manager of the shop that I worked in, which was the World of Disney store, but out in Florida, he actually addressed the troops, and he said, I'm not the right person to be here. He came from organized sports, and he said, I've been trained my whole life to be highly competitive. I've been trained my whole life to win at all costs. You know, I've been trained my whole life that even if you're in pain, even if your leg is broken or your knee is, but you win. And that's not how Disney is. And he said, so I'm making the decision to go. And so, yeah, most of them left at their own accord. Yeah. But it became difficult to stay because there were new, you know, requirements placed on our leaders that if you could not meet those requirements, it would have become problematic. So there's the spin on that, the politically correct part, that if you had not been able to adapt, you would have had the opportunity to find your happiness elsewhere because we asked you to. For most of them, they figured out pretty quick. You know, this is not flavor of the month. This is the way it's going to be, and I better get out of here. This is not for me. So this whole danger of overemphasizing skills rather than a balance of skills and behaviors. I want to tell you that one of the, and this is just a little, this is a freebie. I'm telling you about a tool that we use because I came from casting. We actually use a template. So we use an interview template for everything we do. And the interview template has the qualifications for the job. It has a list of behavioral questions along with the answers to those questions. And we use those templates for every hourly job that we post. And we do that so we make sure that behaviorally we're getting the correct answers. And then on the resume we have the correct skill set. I'm actually working on it. Right now they're proprietary, but I had mentioned that I don't typically deliver content anymore, I develop content. So I'm actually working with our casting center to get about 8 of them cleaned in such a way that we could, because they also have the pay rate, and we wouldn't share that, but that's not even important to you anyway. Union environment, it changes every year, so that's not even the important part. So we're working on getting some 6 or 8 of them where we could share them with you. And so keep in touch with Bruce after you leave, because when those do become available, he could share them with you.
Great.
I have a question about we have a template that we use for interviewing, mm-hmm. but we don't have the answers on the template.
Okay.
Because we leave that to our managers to determine, because we have 200 locations nationally.
You're scaring me a little.
So, we don't have the answer on this. I guess the question is, how do we determine?
How did you determine the answer?
We
determined the answer by looking at the behavior of the cast member that performs the role now. So you go out there, and if it's a merchandise cast member, and you would say, who's the person that does it the best of the best of the best? Okay, what do they do? And that dictated the answers. Yeah. Very scary to have different people in different places doing interviews without answers. Because then charm can come in, likability can come in.
We were just laughing because you said smaller locations. Most of our locations have anywhere from 3 to 5 guys. So likability for them is a major deal because they're going to work very closely day in and day out, every day. So liking the guys is something
becomes
that
important.
We struggle with getting it understand. It is important,
but it should
but
be.
Is it 80% of what you should be
hiring? Right.
So
and I'll tell you honestly, and then we'll get back on track. We don't do that. So we don't say, tell me about a time when you had a disappointment and how you handle it. We literally put you in the situation. So you say this is the job that you want to work in. You say you want to work in merchandise. What if a person walks into your shop and they're looking for something that they saw yesterday, and you have it, but you don't have their size? What exactly would you do? They're very specific. Because if you and I both know, tell me about a time that you had a disappointment at work and how you handled it. You're going to spin it in a way that is so like, I was really disappointed because I couldn't work 50 hours a week. And you know where I'm going. People are going to spin. So we have created questions that are and they're specific to every job. And they're specific to issues that would come up in every job. You want to be a character attendant. What happens if someone comes up to the character that you're attending and they're violent towards that character? What would you do? We need some specific answers to it.
Does your line of questioning stay consistent with the things that are specific? So you ask 15 questions and they're all really of the same age?
They're all of whatever those behaviors were. So service focus, courtesy, safety, whatever those things are that we have found in that model cast member, the questions are, and they're actually not that many. There's typically 7 or 8 at the most. And you may not ask all of them because you may ask the first 4 and you're like, wow, those answers were dead on. Can they they see through the paper because they're so perfect, you don't even ask the rest.
Dead wrong.
Yeah.
Any questions for me?
Well, if somebody was being violent towards a character, I would think that was really funny. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about some different roles. Probably not the one for you. All right. So let's back up a little bit before the interview and say you've got to begin to start emphasizing behaviors, not in the job interview, but you have to begin to emphasize those behaviors in the job posting. So your selection process must include deep cultural immersion. It's going to happen when you post the job. So this is the time I'm going to tell you, get out the pride factor, and when you post that job, you put everything cool about who you are in that job posting and make it so clear what your culture is that there could be no mistake. This is a time when you really sort of stretch your stuff. The images you use, the language you use to position your organization have to be completely aligned with your culture, and know this is the first opportunity you have to say, this is who we are and this is what we stand for. In addition, some great ideas here for you on page 20. Your recruiter and your interviewers should be model employees. Because if they're not exhibiting the correct behaviors all the time, they're certainly not going to be able to choose for it. Treat your people that come in, your interviewees, treat them as guests. And the only way your selection process can work is if it becomes deeply immersed in culture. I'm going to give you an example. Is it clear to you what you're supposed to do when you read this? How clear is it?
Utterly clear.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do?
Supposed to go to your nearest Army recruiting station and join up.
And sign up. Now, who's supposed to do this?
Everybody.
Everyone. Do you see pride in this picture? Yeah. Pride, clear direction, clear understanding. We're not talking about the person sitting next to you. This is you. I want you. I need you. So I show you this because it is so clear that, I mean, you really have to be maybe from another planet to not understand what you're supposed to do here. So let's move it to some practical application and show you how Disney does it. At Disney, we structure our ads for hiring in a very deliberate way to showcase our culture. So it's difficult to read maybe. At the top it says, it's my team's job to make him feel like an all-star. And then in the bottom corner it says, I am Disney. All of our marketing campaigns, no matter where you go in the world right now, are I am Disney. Recruiting campaigns change. Right now, I am Disney. So can you tell culturally? What can you tell? Can you see behaviors here? Okay, what behaviors do you see? Scream them out.
Smiling.
Happy.
Friendly.
Teamwork.
What do they look like?
Disney.
What does Disney look like? What does Disney look like?
Being upstairs.
Clean cut, groomed, sort of that Mouseketeer, kid next door kind of image. How about this one? I love this one. To some, I'm a bus driver. To this princess, I'm her coachman. So is it indicative of what you need to believe to be a bus driver? This is a bus driver. But if I tell you in this advertisement, no, sir, you are not a bus driver. You are a coachman. Does it change the way you think about that job? Yes. Yes. And you see his behaviors, respectful of her. Are we always respectful of children? No. We're human beings. We're not always respectful of children. We're not. But at Disney, we know we must be. So if you could see the bottom part, there's a bottom to this advertisement too, and it simply says dreams. That's what you'll find at the Walt Disney World Resort. There are many guest service and entertainment roles in which our cast members bring Disney dreams to life. And I'm reading this because there's some words I'm going to emphasize to you here, from our enchanted theme parks. Seriously, We have enchanted theme parks and world-class resort hotels to our spectacular shows and beloved characters. That's what we mean when we say put it out there in your ads. Put your pride right out there. We just don't have characters, we have beloved characters. We don't just have shows, we have spectacular shows. And then we kind of think, well, you know, the rest of it. Sometimes we even make the decision as a company to step beyond our normal boundaries, so to speak, and say, this is what we're going to embrace, and we believe you ought to embrace it too. And we don't do this very often. We do with Disney's Worldwide Conservation Fund. You know, we put it right out there and say, here, we believe in conservation, and we believe you should too. But just interesting, recently we've begun this recruiting campaign, Heroes Work Here. And this campaign is saying two things. It's saying, one, world, we want you to know we hire veterans. And we have made a commitment to hire 1,000 veterans in the next 2 years. We've also said, we believe you should hire veterans. So I just wanted to show you what that ad looks like. There's many of them. This is one of them.
Everybody in their own way are heroes.
Petty officer second class.
Aviation mechanic.
Staff sergeant in the United States Air Force.
I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for the Navy.
Veterans make a great contribution to the workforce.
I lead a life of integrity.
Honor, discipline,
commitment.
Veterans have already been tested.
We don't need pity. We just want to be able to have that opportunity.
Military veterans have what it takes to help your company succeed.
Heroes work here. Employ excellence. Hire veterans.
Okay, so this does two things for us as an organization. One, it lets the world know, if you're a veteran, we're very interested in you. So that's sort of one piece of it. It lets the world know, hey, if you're a company who's not interested in veterans, we think you should think about that again. And there's a third thing that we get from this. Maybe you're an organization that you don't have any veterans, you don't hire, not because you don't want them, you just don't have any that work for your organization, but you appreciate a company who does believe in that. So maybe we become an employer of choice for you because you appreciate the thing that you value. So when your selection techniques, when you're putting that information out there, don't forget the information that people might grab onto and say, man, I want to work there because I like the way they think. Because that, interestingly, has manifested itself in that ad. It was really not the intention. The intention was to employ veterans. But that's been a ripple effect of what has happened. So none of this is accidental. Did you see culture in all of those ads? Yeah, you gave me even an example. What do your ads look like? And this is not an on-the-spot, but what do your ads look like? Could they be more visual? Pictures speak much louder than words do. You know, could they show, I mean, show off. You guys work for great organizations. So it's a time to show off. You know, so what could you do rhetorically different to really show yourself off? So those are print advertisements that you saw. You saw the one commercial that runs on TV. There are radio ads as well. The radio ads sound like the print ads looked. So you would hear the, to some, I'm a bus driver, to certain little girls, I'm a coachman. You would hear that. It's done very deliberately. Speaking of deliberately, you must be very intentional in testing for cultural match and also testing for cultural mismatch. An intentional cultural match is totally different than using the lens of likability. An intentional cultural match blends desired behaviors with increased employee engagement and organizational vitality. When you bring in those people that are a cultural match and they're already excited to get there, they're already bringing an element of vibrancy to your company that you don't even have to work to get, because they bring it with them. It's pretty pretty cool to see. Finding a cultural match means that the employees' values and beliefs are aligned with those of the organization. A little bit like a dating relationship, you know? Kind of got to see, do you like who we are? Do we like who you are? Are you a match for us? Are we a match for you? At Disney, when you decide that you're interested in us, I want to tell you just a brief bit of a process. So the process would be you go online, you apply for a job. We're going to kick back to you a survey. The survey is one that we've developed with another organization, and it is behavioral. So that's our first, before you're even able to test for skill, we test for behavior first. If you do not pass that interview or that survey, you are not asked to come in and interview. If you pass it, then you have the opportunity to come in and be interviewed. But before you are interviewed, we need you to watch something. And it is we're a film company, right? So we make videos out of everything. You don't have to make a video. I'm going to show you a video. This does not have to be a video. You can do this on a one-sheeter, you know, story of your culture with a couple of graphics. You don't have to do a video. We're just a movie company, so you have to know we're always about making a video. We're going to send you a link to watch this video, or you may come into our casting centers anywhere around the globe, and you may watch the casting video. Some of our applicants have home computers and can watch the video. Some don't. So they don't have the opportunity to. Some people speak English. Some people don't. So if you don't speak English, you can come into the casting building. You can see this video subtitled in another language. Okay, so you kind of got to put your imagination hat on, because I'm going to kind of take you through a process of selection. So you have applied online, you took the survey, you passed the behavioral survey. I sent you the next link. This is the link to the casting video that you would see prior to your interview.
A cast member. You wouldn't just have a job, you would play a role. And
paid leave. Full-time cast members may be eligible for paid medical and dental coverage and paid vacations, and may be eligible to participate in retirement plans after the first full year of service. A limited medical plan may be available for part-time cast members. Walt Disney World Resort guests have come to value our cast members, from their smiles to their helpfulness to their timeless appearance. So it's important they look and play the part to maintain the Disney magic our guests have come to expect. If you become a Disney cast member, you'll probably wear a costume issued to you by the Walt Disney World Resort Costume Department. Walt Disney World Resort has one of the largest working wardrobes in the world, but what you wear is only one element of the Disney look. Our cast members follow other appearance guidelines to stay true to the tradition of creating a family atmosphere for our guests. Follow me, we won't have to look far for some great examples. For our female cast members, makeup should enhance their natural beauty. If jewelry is worn, it should consist of one set of post earrings, no larger than a quarter, one ring and a wristwatch, but no necklaces and bracelets. Your hair should be a natural looking color with no extreme coloring or highlights. Gentlemen, your hair should be off the ears and off the collar, and you should be clean shaven with no beards or long sideburns. A mustache is okay as long as it's neat and well-trimmed. Oh, and no visible tattoos for either men or women. We've covered compensation and appearance. Now let's move on to scheduling and transportation. Our parks and resorts run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So we have cast members working all different times of the day and night with one purpose: to make every minute magical for all of our guests. Full-time cast members typically work 30 to 40 hours a week with overtime during peak periods. Part-time cast members typically work 6 to 24 hours per week. Seasonal cast members typically work during our busiest times and can work up to 40 hours a week depending on scheduling needs. Cast members must have reliable transportation to and from work. Because schedules fluctuate, it is important for cast members to be on time to make the guest experience seamless. Allow adequate travel time to work, making sure you allow for unpredictable traveling. So far, we've seen an overview of the Walt Disney World Resort, and we've learned some important information about compensation, appearance, scheduling, and transportation. Now, this is where the story really gets interesting. It's time to introduce you to something we call the Disney Difference. The Disney Difference is part of what makes working here such a remarkable experience. It is all the products and services designed to support cast members in so many aspects of their lives, at home, work, and play. Take a look. As a cast member, you would enjoy theme park admission and discounts at select dining, merchandise, and recreation locations at the Walt Disney World Resort. Plus, cast members with families may enroll their children in the Central Florida YMCA Family Centers, which offer two childcare locations on property. Cast members can shop for exclusive cast member merchandise and discounted tickets at our company D store. For your leisure, Mickey's Retreat offers recreational opportunities to cast members and their guests. Plus, cast members can take part in Disney's intramural sports leagues. Cast members may also enjoy Disney Cruise Line discounts, recognition events, and our own cast holiday celebration. Cast members and their immediate families are eligible to join Partners Federal Credit Union, an exclusive not-for-profit financial institution that provides access to a full range of savings, loan, and investment products. Disney offers a range of diversity learning opportunities that support our Disney-recognized diversity resource groups. And Disney Volunteers is a program that provides Disney cast members an opportunity to contribute their personal time to our community. Other Disney Difference programs include an employee stock purchasing program, direct deposit, educational reimbursement, career development support, and educational opportunities such as English as a second language classes, plus pre-tax savings on healthcare, dependent daycare, and on-site bus transportation. All offers and benefits are subject to change at any time and may be based on availability. Being a part of the Disney team is truly being a part of something special, something that started once upon a time with a man, a mouse, and a dream.
I guess you all know this little fella here. It's an old partnership. Mickey and I started out the first time many, many years ago.
Walter Elias Disney grew up with a passion for drawing and a love of family, fantasy, and laughter. One day on a train heading to California, Walt created Mickey Mouse and introduced him to the public in Steamboat Willie. A huge success, Steamboat Willie was followed by a series of very successful films that made Walt Disney and his little company famous and loved by all. But for Walt, the dream didn't end there. Inspired by his own children, he took the fantasies he created in his films and brought them to life in a magical place called Disneyland.
I felt that there should be something built, some kind of an amusement enterprise built where the parents and the children could have fun together.
That dream grew and grew and lives on right here at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida.
Yeah, and which, all of those things. And would you believe there are people that walk into our casting buildings all over the world today that don't realize Walt was a real man? He's a corporate icon, like Betty Crocker, or the Quaker Oats man. To some, he is. To some who are significantly younger or from another country. You know, so we show you, hey, this is where we get, this is our heritage and traditions from culture. This is our story of the past. So we want you to see that even in our casting video. Was there anything that surprised you? Didn't surprise you? You went, ah, that figures. These Disney people.
I liked how you gave the potential employee the opportunity to self-select by, tattoos or the hair. I think that's right.
Yes. Every non-negotiable is set up front. Because, well, for a number of reasons. One, because you're going to have to adhere to them. And the second one is, if it would be uncomfortable for you to self-select out, you get the opportunity to do it at a video and not in front of a recruiter.
Well, and you're also just saying, if you're going to be part of the team, you're going to play by our rules. You're going to do things our way, which means you mentioned the going rogue earlier. You're effectively self-selecting out from that going rogue tendency by saying you're going to do things. These are the expectations.
We're already pushing you to the right by saying this is the appropriate hair, these are the appropriate makeup, here's the appropriate jewelry for men, here's the appropriate, you know. And do we make modifications to that over the years? Absolutely. But we don't with regard to things like piercing and tattoos, and because remember what you're supposed to look like. Mouseketeer, kid next door. You know, we want you to be accessible to children. And I'm not saying tattoos are not accessible to children, but some tattoos are not. You know, a skull or an angry devil or a, you know, emblazoned on your leg and you wear shorts for your job. It could be something that a child would ask themselves twice. Do I want to go talk to that adult? So we just want to take that completely out of the picture. We want to make it completely accessible, particularly for kids, for children. So all those non-negotiables are up front, and we do it in the form of the word CAST. Compensation. Did you understand the compensation in which it was presented? Appearance guidelines. Scheduling. You might be scheduled hours you don't want to work because we are to work while others play. Transportation. You have to have a way to get here. You have to have a model.
I thought it was great how it took you through the sell of like trying to sell us on working for Disney, child care, the credit union, the stock option opportunities, or maybe this. I mean, all those things had maze and caveats, but they were all thrown out there, which I could see people's interest being sparked really quickly. Yeah. Wow. That's, you know, which most people don't know. I had no idea that there was a like a Disney credit union. Mm-hmm. I didn't know any of that stuff. So
yeah, when you go into a job interview, really, what you care most about is what's in it for me. So we give you that here, so we don't have to spend a lot of time in the interview talking about that, because you've already gotten a taste of it. You're going to get more of it, you know, once you're hired, but whether it be child care or credit union or sports leagues or theme park tickets.
This is obviously mainly cast members. Mm-hmm. The largest number of Disney staff are cast members. But is there an equivalent, parallel, you know, process, videos, et cetera, if you're hiring professional roles? Like, let's say you're looking for anything. Let's say you're hiring a CPA. They get the same, complete with the hourly, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they still have to watch this video.
So there isn't a separate video, a separate...
Burbank has a video. California, DLR has a video. WDW that you saw has a video. Hong Kong has a video. Paris has a video. Tokyo has a video. Shanghai will have a video. But if you come in hourly or if you come in salary, you have to watch that video. You still have to understand the basic tenets of who we are. Because even as a salaried employee, you're probably going to be somewhere on that 47 square mile property. You may be leading someone at the Grand Floridian Hotel. So still seeing that gets you excited. You still have to understand, you know, compensation. Compensation for us works very differently than it does in other organizations. There's not a lot of negotiating room for compensation. Compensation is level, you know, in a certain place. There's not a lot of give and take in it, regardless of what role you're coming in. Appearance guidelines count for everyone. Scheduling the same way. You could be a salaried leader working third shift. And you need to understand that that's... Nobody's any different. The same thing when you come in, we're going to get to this, to your first day of training. Your first day of training, everybody's sitting together. You could have a vice president sitting next to someone who's working quick service food and beverage, who's sitting next to someone who's working in merchandise. So if we were going to continue on from there, if you saw that video and you went, okay, I'm all right so far, and you're in Florida, you're going to come to this building. This is our casting building. It's right across the street from our downtown Disney. You may notice it's whimsical in nature. So we're talking about deep cultural immersion here. Things like, you see the Mickey heads here? They're scuppers, you know, for rain, but they're shaped like Mickey's head. You notice the turrets, you know, it's castle-like in its appearance. And you may notice the Harlequin print that's painted on the building. So it is a little whimsical looking. As you walk up to the front doors, these are the front doors that you're going to be greeted with. How do you feel when you go for a job interview? So these door handles will do one of two things. They will either make you feel much more comfortable about walking in the door, or you will reach out to grab the nose of that character and go, I don't think so, and walk back to your car. And they're intentional that way. This is deep cultural immersion here. You walk in through the doors into a rotunda. In the rotunda, there are not pictures of every former leader of the Disney organization. There's no picture of Walt Disney in this rotunda. Because quite frankly, Walt Disney is not the individual that our cast members have the closest relationship with. Our cast members have the closest relationship with our Disney characters. So there are 12, actually, here. There's six on this side and six on the side where the photographer's standing. And if we could get closer to them, you know, we've got a little elephant theme going, so let's see if we can't get a little closer to our friend Dumbo here. So Dumbo and Timothy Mouse, as well as all of the characters in the rotunda, are gold leaf. Culturally, what does that tell you? These guys are important. It's nothing about money, really. These guys are important. They're so important, they're in gold leaf. Why are they important? Because without these guys, we don't have a culture. Without Dumbo and Mickey and Minnie and all their friends. You turn to the left and you walk up a ramp. We say you're ascending into new job opportunities. Do we have to have a ramp there? No, you could have a staircase. Why do we have a ramp?
Accessibility.
Okay. Why else do we have a ramp? We actually have elevators for accessibility. Why else do we have a ramp?
Transition.
It's a transition point for you. Why else do we have a ramp?
Moving upward.
Yeah, could I say you're ascending into new job opportunities if I didn't have a ramp? So it's a real visual for you that you're going somewhere. You're ascending into. In addition, I also get a lot of wall space for art. On the right-hand side wall, which faces Interstate 4 in Florida, everything that you see painted by our Imagineers are going to be things that could be happening on a highway. Everything you see on the left-hand side are all things happening in our theme park. So, for example, here's our first mural, Interstate 4. On the other side, what's happening in our theme park. So we get an opportunity as we go up the ramp to even show you art. Now this is where Walt makes an appearance, not in a gigantic photo of him going on the wall, but here as if he's interacting with the things that he created. And to pay homage to him, do you notice his socks? What do his socks look like? The outside of the building! Walt Disney loved to wear our bad socks. So we paid homage to him culturally by using that Harlequin print. When you get up to the top of the ramp, there's seating areas. We show you two different kinds of seating areas. You know, one a little more comfy, couchy kind of sitting area, and then we have tables over here. If you needed to fill out anything, there'd be a table for you. In addition, you see the TV screen in the back? Can you tell at all what's on that TV screen? Disney animated film. So you get animated film, followed by cast testimonials about their job, followed by animated film, followed by cast testimonials. And we change the films all the time. If you couldn't have watched that casting video at home, we have a theater that you can come in and you can watch the video. Why do we do all this? Your selection process must include deep cultural immersion. Your hiring process should intentionally excite the candidate. If someone's excited, it accelerates the offer to acceptance ratio. If they're excited by everything that they've been a part of, they're going to be much more excited about taking the job. So you got to get, remember, it's about accelerated performance. And you get that accelerated performance by deep cultural immersion. So what we're talking about is just a change in philosophy. You know, it's, we don't do an interview at a coffee shop. You know, you find a place in your organization that you can make look beautiful. Because do we have, does everything at Disney look beautiful like this? No. In fact, we're going to take you to a backstage area a little bit later that is not quite this beautiful. Some places have to be functional, right? Rather than beautiful. But you find a place that you can make look beautiful, and that you can make look like your culture, even if it's just a small room with a table and a couple of chairs. You know, and create some sort of advertisement that showcases visually who you are. And maybe just a one-sheeter that says, here's our history, here's our culture. Not a video. Although I'll tell you, if you live anywhere near colleges or universities, which there's, you can't throw a rock in California without hitting one, go to the communication school and say, hey, does anyone need a senior project? You don't pay for it. They get to, you know, they get to showcase their videography skills and shoot you a video and, you know, use your resources. Speaking of resources, it's time to go to work. In your participant guide, this time around, you have more than one page. So page 24, 25, 26, and 27, you have the four insights that we just talked about. You have the operationalization of how Disney does it, and time to think about how you can do it before we move on to training. And so we're going to give you about 15 minutes. So I'm going to come back to you at the 10-minute mark, and you know, let you